Oh, that's right. How you doing this afternoon? It's another afternoon of politics right here on WCRS, and my very special guest this afternoon is Dale Kittles. He is running for sheriff of Greenwood County. He is a Republican, and he has been in law enforcement, I guess we could say, for 30 years. Could we, Dale?
That's correct.
How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting a lot of information here this afternoon. We're going to share some of that with our friends and listeners out there on WCRS. You know, I think the sheriff's race is one of the races that is going to be highly contested for this primary.
Absolutely. There's a lot of folks that's running.
Yeah, there are. Five, to be exact. Yeah. So how have you been doing out there on the race?
I feel very comfortable. I feel very good about how things are going. I have a great staff that's helping me out. I walk the streets, talk with individuals, the community. I'm getting a lot of support, so I feel very confident.
Now, you did you retire from the sheriff's office?
No, I did not. I do have 30 years in. I could retire, but I believe retirement's for retirement. I'm not ready to retire, so I have resigned.
How old are you?
I'm 52 years old.
Well, how can you have 30 years and be 52? That's what I want to know.
I started when I was 21. I was the youngest guy at the police department when I first started.
You were?
Yes, ma'am.
Seen a lot of changes then, I would think, in 30 years.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes. I can remember we back in the day, we run seven-day rotations, and you might get two calls in 7 days. Anymore, it's different. The concept of policing is... I think we've gotten away from the basic concept, and I think we're falling behind on training. I think we're falling behind on how we deploy our individuals out here that's responsibilities to respond to calls for service.
You know, of course, we're talking about Greenwood here, but just for a moment, let's expand it to our whole country. It seems to me that the way we had our lives even 10 or 15 years ago and what we deal with today in the world is just totally different from that standpoint. Events that have happened, Baltimore, Maryland,
that's right.
Charleston, all these events that have happened certainly have changed even the perception of law enforcement.
It has. And I'll tell you this much. What has changed and what we've not kept up with in times is one of the most crucial parts of what I want to talk about is training. Every individual goes to Columbia at the Psycho Criminal Justice Academy, and they get their basic training. They come back, and I'll submit to you this much, that we in management have failed our officers by not providing adequate training. And I mean this by we're not providing them real-world, real-scenario training, putting them in situations that's a controlled environment now, making them get stressed, and see how they react when they get stressed. Everyone acts differently. And we're failing our officers, we're failing the community by not providing that type of training. And I have been trying my best to get that to happen. And if I'm elected sheriff, it will happen.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that the problems that we're facing today in law enforcement, whether it's here in Greenwood or across the country, are entirely different than when you started 30 years ago?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that's different there. The media perception of law enforcement has certainly, it's not pro-law enforcement. Now everything is instantaneous. People want that news right now, give me the information right now before they have the total facts. And when you start looking at the total facts, okay, well, it didn't happen the way it looks because we didn't ask these questions or we didn't look at the video totally. So a lot has changed. But that being said, again, the officers are responding in such a way, in such a fashion, to things they've never seen before. And that's because the citizens today are more educated. Mm-hmm. They know more about what's going on the streets than generally the officer does. And the individuals on the streets in a heated situation, again, officers react a certain way. If they've never been placed in that situation before, then they resort to maybe ad hoc at best on how to respond.
So you believe that training, but I understand that even the training coming out of the academy down there in Columbia is not as good as it once was.
I agree with you on that. I do.
Well, that's two people that agree then. Okay.
Well, and this is the reason why it is. The academy's responsibility is to provide the basic training, provide the basic knowledge. And it's up to the local agencies to provide that advanced training. Training is not cheap by any means. And so, therefore, what you do is maybe one, two, or three officers within the department goes out and they get advanced training and they come back. If they're not provided adequate locations, adequate equipment to conduct that training, what we do is a perishable skill. For example, you Google 1950 FBI firearms training. And I promise you, if you went out to law enforcement training right now, they're doing the same thing. It's a target sitting up there, and somebody's blowing the whistle, and they're drawing, and they're firing. No one wants to spend the money to put these officers in.
Have live subjects?
Well, no. That's not what I'm getting at. You can't do stuff like that now. I mean, just be realistic. We're going to have this conversation, okay?
Right. I am being realistic, but I'm saying, being realistic
is we put targets. There's three-dimensional targets you can put out there, two-dimensional targets, to where you could go out and you could have targets that will turn and either be holding a weapon or not holding a weapon. They're not paper targets.
Mm-hmm.
You can have targets that look like real people.
I've seen that type of thing.
And those, and that's the type of training we've got to put these officers involved in.
I thought we were going to have a training center here in Greenwood.
Well, there
was supposed to be a training center coming.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping that will happen. And when I was at the sheriff's office, that was something that we were promoting. We were trying to do.
Actually, wasn't it the National Guard, the FBI? I mean, somebody was supposed to be bringing.
Oh, you're talking about way back when? This has been under
maybe 8 years ago now.
It's been about 8 years. Close to 8 years. Yes, you're right. Yeah. That was something that the federal government was going to come in and provide a training center, but
right.
for reasons
out there by the airport,
that's
it
right.
was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never came through.
So it's left up to us. We have to have good instructors, well qualified instructors. And you have to have a location, because what you have to put these.
You have to do that on your own, or are there centers where people can be sent to?
Well, you can always pay that money and send people to wherever, mm-hmm. okay. But you're again, it's, with the money and the cost that it would take to send an individual, you couldn't pay to have a whole department go there, and you could not send half your department today and rest of it tomorrow. One day's training, you know, that just it's not feasible. It's cost.
So what are you suggesting, Dale?
What we have is a training center built right here in Greenwood County.
Sounds like we're spending money.
Well, you got to spend money to save lives. Okay? You got to spend money to save lives. I will submit to you, not one police officer that ever shot somebody woke up that day and said, I'm going to have to shoot somebody today. I will tell you that most would say, I don't want to have to use my weapon today. The best tool you have is when that officer goes out there, they have it in their toolbox inside their head. How do I respond to this? How can I de-escalate the situation? If we don't provide them the tools in that toolbox to do that, then what you have is you have a tragic situation, because we've all been scared. I've been scared in my 30 years. It's what we do with that fear that dictates how that's going to play out.
I can see where you're going with this, but don't you think one of the other problems that our office, all law enforcement are dealing with is the cell phone camera, how something is going to be perceived, people are trained to react. I know military people are trained to react. If this happens, you do this, and you don't even think about it. And I think that is a problem for our law enforcement today.
And again, those are new trends that's popping up that we have to deal with. You know, again, it's a leadership thing. It's a management thing. We have policy procedures on how to handle a situation. Okay, it's on paper. How do we handle it? All right, it says right here. But until we put those officers in those situations to how to respond, you get them. You have to provide them realistic type training. And once they know what it's like to be that stressed and how that feels and how they respond, the outcome's going to be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Are there video games for this? I'm not being funny.
There are actually, you're right, there are what's called fast machine firearms simulators.
Right.
It is. That is a great tool. It's mm-hmm. simply a tool. But what I propose is this. You have better tools. You have what's called simunition. It is weapons that will fire a round that actually hits and you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for example, I'm at the movies, I see somebody shooting, Okay, that's basically what a fax machine is. I know that there's no way I'm going to get hit. I'm not going to get hurt. If you have, again, the type of training I'm talking about doing, you put these officers involved in, and they know if they mess up or if they do something that's not tactically sound, then another person over there that's, you know, say, popping up with a gun, and if you don't cover that person properly, then you're subject to get hit by that ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
It has a fear factor that peaks it up just a little bit to where you say, I better be on my P's and Q's and I handle the situation. And it's all based on the basics you learn from the academy, mm-hmm. and how we continue to train here at home. Again, things you do are perishable.
Are there other sheriff's office around the state that are doing any of these things?
Yes.
What area?
I know that Greenville does it. Around Orangeburg, they do it. They have some of the best facilities around. You know, you could spend a lot of money to have a Taj Mahal, sort of, you know, mm-hmm. but you don't have to have that. You can have basic stuff. But it goes far beyond in just law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another key point that I'm pushing here. We have got to start training with all our first responders to include fire and EMS. Okay, we're talking about volunteer fire, paid fire, and all the EMS. I am of the firm belief that if you're not prepared for a tragic situation, then that tragic situation is going to take more lives than you could ever imagine.
Well, I think the tragic situation that affected Greenwood was when the, what was it, 19?
Oakland School.
No. I was thinking of, Oakland, that's an older, much older one.
I responded. I was one that also responded to that.
Yeah, and, of course, that was right over here. I remember when that happened,
that's right. They
were talking about Connecticut and everything. Sandy Hook, I was talking to somebody, a national talk show host, and I said, well, we had something like that.
That's right.
Way back then.
That's right.
That was a tragic situation.
It was.
But I was also talking about, more recently, the guy that killed family children.
Yes.
That was Tony Davis.
I was a SWAT commander.
Right.
And that's one of the duties. I've been on SWAT for 15 years. And for the last, until I had to resign, I was SWAT commander for about 5 years. SWAT commander's responsibility, they're responsible for all major events that takes place within the Greenwood County. That was one of the events that I responded to out there as well. And now,
how do you think that was handled?
I thought it was, you know, of course, you know, I was SWAT commander. I'm going to tell you, it was handled, you know, pretty decent, at least. But that
lobbing an easy one up for you there,
no,
Dale.
No kidding, yeah. No kidding. But you know, is there always room for improvement? Yes. I mean, you have to be realistic. You have to you have to sit back and be thick-skinned. You know, what could we have done differently? You know, it was a very tragic situation. The situation, unfortunately, had taken place way before we ever arrived.
Mm-hmm.
The first goal of officers on the scene is to preserve and save lives. We don't want to escalate the situation if possible. And that's part of our training. And that's why SWAT officers train minimum of twice a month. They have a lot of training. They use their equipment. They use techniques. The last thing they want to do is use weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But they are proficient with it. They have to be. And that's what the dedication for those individuals. And because they go and train so much, but I want to provide the same level of training for a uniformed patrol officer. Now, what SWAT goes to is pretty much a contained situation. They have to respond thereafter. What uniformed patrol is so much more dangerous because when they're going to, it's an unknown, uncontrolled situation. You've got to get it under control.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that the Greenwood Sheriff's Department is in a bad way?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do. Or I would never have resigned. I resigned because I felt like that it could be done better. We owe
it to... Did you resign because you were running for sheriff?
I had an option. I was given an option.
You were given the option.
I was given the option to not run, support the current sheriff, and maintain my salary. But... I could not with good conscience sit back and say, I support what's going on. That's a hard question you just give me, but I'm going to answer it honestly. I could not support what was going on.
From what standpoint?
The standpoint of lack of leadership, the standpoint of lack of proper management. The money's missing.
Drugs are missing.
You know, we can all sit back and say, oh, that's you can't be over everything. Well, let me tell you something. You lead by example. You provide the proper management. And individuals that work for you will respect that. And you've got to provide oversight.
Are you saying Tony Davis isn't providing oversight?
Do we have money missing? Do we have drugs missing?
We do.
I would say that proper oversight wasn't there then. Simple as that.
What is the structure in the sheriff's office? You know, what is the hierarchy, I guess we could say, for the general folks here to understand?
Well, of course, you had the sheriff. Mm-hmm. The sheriff is responsible for everything that goes on in that office.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff is the advocate for every citizen of Greenwood County. Because anything that happens to that nature, for example, every citizen is a victim. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're a victim. And the sheriff is that voice for that victim. I don't know why this stuff hadn't been tried. For the life of me, I don't know why it hadn't been brought up in front of the courts. But I certainly would be that person that would sit there and say, I want it tried. I want it adjudicated. I want my department clear of any wrongdoing, because there's so much scuttlebutt going on about who's involved here, who's doing that, what's doing this.
But isn't it, just to play devil's advocate here, isn't it a problem because we have SLED involved and the investigation is still going on, so we can't know what's going on?
Well, we might not know the integral details mm-hmm. of everything that's going on, okay,
yes.
As far as the investigation. It's my understanding the Attorney General is going to be trying this case, and there's a lot of stuff there is close to the heart.
Which case are we talking about right now?
Exactly.
But which case are we talking about?
We're talking about Sandy McAllister case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other, of course, I resigned January 22nd. I don't know what's going on with the other guys. Mm-hmm. I don't have a clue. I can tell you this much, though. If my department and my employees were being looked upon the way the sheriff's office is being looked upon by so many, I would be demanding somebody to tell me why this thing ain't going to trial yet. Okay? I don't understand. This is a high profile case. I'm that kind of guy. I want it done. I want it done now. I want my department cleared. I want anybody that's involved in this to be brought in front of the judge and adjudicated.
Officer or not?
Officer or not. I don't care. Let me tell you something.
I tell you what, let's break that up after the news, because we're coming right up on the news. We are talking with Dale Kittles this afternoon. If you have a question for Dale, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're talking about him being the next sheriff of Greenwood County. So if you've got a question, now's your opportunity, 229-7984. It's time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right here on WCRS. I am talking to Dale Kittles this afternoon, and we are talking about his desire to be the next sheriff of Greenwood County. We were talking about what is happening at the sheriff's office. You said part of the reason you resigned is you just weren't happy with how things were working.
That's correct. It was a difficult decision. No, it wasn't. It was an easy decision. It was either I support the current sheriff, and the only difficult part about it was how you can provide for your family. And a lot of prayer goes into that, and I said, good Lord, if I'm doing the right thing, you'll help me out.
So you haven't worked for the sheriff's office since January?
January 22nd.
So what have you been doing?
Well, actually, I shopped around for a job for a lot to get by with, but currently I'm working as a contract worker for the federal government, and that comes every couple months, so it provides something until the election's over with.
until the election's over. That's got to be tough, though. You could be out of town when things are necessary for you to be here on this election.
That is absolutely true. But so far, the way things are going, I'm here until actually September, and I'll be gone in September for a few days, and I'll come back in September and continue on with the election. Hopefully, I'll go forward. June 14th, we got to get the supporters out and get me past the Republican primary.
That's right. So that is coming up on the 14th. Talking about some of the other things that are going on, I know at one point you were actually working on the drug. You were over the drug part of the...
That's right. Actually, I took over the drug unit under Dan Wyman. I worked as a community police officer, or what we refer to as rural deputy, under Sam Riley. I worked there for 5 years. That's where my passion's at, as far as I believe that concept, putting officers in the community, community learning officers, and officers learning the community.
You mean making them walk?
You know, what's wrong? Why can't you get out of the car and walk? You know, I think that's a good idea.
Well, because of the donuts, maybe? No.
Well, I've had a few in my time. I can't say anything about it. But no, you know, I think it's great to park that car and get out and walk. Sit on the front porch. I know I worked over in Country Homes area, and I couldn't tell you how many families I'd walk by and say, hey, Dale, sit down. And, you know, I've shared meals with them. That was...
One too many. Sorry, I had to go there.
Truth don't hurt me. Yeah. Truth don't hurt me. But no, I think, and I believe in my heart, that's the way law enforcement should be.
What should be the relationship between the community and the sheriffs or the police department? One of the things I was saddened to hear was the fact that Crime Stoppers used to be an avid part of here in Greenwood. And, of course, now that's gone statewide, so it's not a local position here.
Well, one of the things that we found out about that, and I was in the office while it was going on, and there was a big debate and a battle about what to do with that. And now that you've gone nationally, it's state and federally supported, you can actually pay for information. So that's really a good thing. Now, when it stayed locally, and a lot of individuals would not call because they were in fear that their phone would be traced or whatever. So now you could either send it by text, you can send it by email, or you can call the 1-800 number. And of course, they still got the local number, but it goes to a call center. And no one asks any questions, and what they'll do is they'll email the information back for follow-up.
But what do you think about the relationship? What is your idea as far as working with the community to police? I mean, what is one of our biggest problems? I believe it is drugs.
Absolutely. Drugs is the number one problem. I think all the day of the crime of opportunity, you know, where somebody walking by, I want that bicycle, I'm going to, you know, that's gone. Individuals today look for what they can steal, so they could turn that into a profit to buy drugs, or use it to buy drugs itself. That is one of the we've got to attack that. Okay, and
what's the best way to do it?
Well, again, let's get back to community relations. What I want to do is take the current allotted positions that we have at the sheriff's office, and I want to develop north and south divisions. North division, I've already talked with Hodges mayor. I've got a semi. We would like to do this. We're at the house.
Is this
north
the
division.
North versus the south again?
No. It's just the way it would be easily set up. Mm-hmm. I mean, realistically speaking, the best way of doing it, we have five districts. There's no way the community could absorb that kind of cost. I would never ask them to do anything like that. But we've got to start somewhere and go north, and we go south. And just because of the where they would be housed at. Mm-hmm. South division be housed out of the sheriff's office. That division commander will be there, be run by a captain. The north division will be run by a captain as well, be housed out of Hodges. I'm wanting to work with the Hodges town about doing this. I think it's win-win from there.
And that splits the sheriff's department.
Well, it splits their duties. And that being said, is when you have somebody that comes in, a shift that comes in from work, they would be dispatched as soon as they get into work. They'll stop by the office. They have a chance, and they'll get their information, and they'll disperse from there. And what I want to do is have those division commanders have their pulse on the community. They're out talking with the community. They're learning what's going on, and I will be out there with them. I will lead by example. I will be in a marked patrol car, and we'll be going out saying, what are we not doing right? How can we do it better? Or hopefully, what are we doing that's good? Mm-hmm. We've got to get out here and talk with the community. And the community's got to trust us as well as we've got to trust the community. If they're saying they need something, not everything that we go on in law enforcement is a police matter. But why can't we help them in getting resolution to their problems?
Sure.
You know, most domestics, for example, they all stem from either money issues,
right,
drug issues, all kind of small things that maybe we can help them out. You know,
what is your position on drugs, Dale, as far as punishing? Should a sheriff's deputy have the right to make a decision on whether that one joint is the same as having a 5 joints or 10 joints in the car? I'm just using that as an example.
Right. Well, you know, I believe in policing with compassion. Drugs, in general, I have a zero tolerance for drugs,
okay?
But that being said is, you have got to understand if you have, you know, you have a 14, 15-year-old kid that are, you know, wherever behind the bleachers of the Civic Center or something like that doing something that's, you know, do you have some discretion? I think you do, because the total outcome of destroying that person's life is going to be there. Mm-hmm. If they're charged with alcohol or a drug charge, they may never get another scholarship or even go to college.
Sure.
That might end their whole life right there. I think that we should have that relationship with the community where we get this individual, bring them up to the office, get their parents involved, and have some kind of intervention where we can help out. Now, that being said also,
right,
you're sitting there and that person's selling dope.
So the drug dealer, you have a totally different feeling.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm so, you know, I've heard it before. Any candidate says that anything other than I'm anti-drug or anti-crime, mm-hmm, you don't need to be running for sheriff.
Right.
I mean, that's a give me.
Right. You know,
that's a character that all sheriffs should have. But we police with compassion. Sometimes you got to make those charges.
Sure.
You know, this young man or this young lady has, you know, have had a history. They're not getting, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
What should we do with those habitual drug offenders? They're not dealers. They just have a drug problem. Should we lock them up?
You know, when I first started back in late 85s, early 86, I thought lock them all up, you know, and God sort them out and we're good to go. I believe individuals go to prison, come out worse than they went in. Very few individuals I've seen come out and say, I've made a change in my life. I'm going to continue to change. I don't know what, to be honest with you, I don't know what the fix is on that. If I knew the answer to that one, I certainly wouldn't run for sheriff. I'd be doing something else, making $1 million. So individuals that are involved in drugs, they go into the prison system. They hook up with individuals that sell drugs as well. They learn the technique. They come back out and they get better at it. So I don't know. I do know this. Law enforcement, we have to understand our role. Our role is to try to deter crime and certainly detect crime if at all possible and make those arrests that is appropriate and let the courts figure out what to do. Now, that being said, we can't say in law enforcement that we turn a blind eye. We don't have a say-so. If we can help somebody, let's help somebody.
I think that somebody explained it that, you know, if it was just one joint that the person sitting in the car, that's one thing. If on talking to and investigating and finding out that there's alcohol and that there's this and that there's that, then that changes the whole situation. And an officer has to be able to investigate and ask intelligent questions.
You know, that's perfectly stated right there, and that comes with training.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with hiring the right people to do the job.
What about hiring? You know, I hear all the time that law enforcement, it's been damaged by the media. How about hiring? Do you think that you can hire people to fill the positions in the sheriff's office, or is that a problem?
I don't feel like it's a problem, provided you as the manager, as the leader, is highly respected, and your department comes highly respected in the community. You hear about other agencies throughout the state, throughout the country, I would never work there because of this, that, and the other.
Right.
If the leaders are respected, the department is respected in how they conduct themselves on and off duty, how they conduct themselves, or how they treat people. Mm-hmm. Those are character issues that has to be molded by management, by the leaders.
What about diversity within the department? Do you think it is necessary to have all different colors, all different ethnic backgrounds?
I think your department should represent the community in which you're charged in providing that service for. And we are providing a law enforcement service, and again, it should reflect the community. And it's just, you know, I don't care what you say. You know, it's a win-win situation. I feel like because of lack of pay, Greenwood is not the highest paying agency around. And, you know, when you got a four-year degree graduate coming out and they can start making money what most officers or sergeants making here at the sheriff's office, of course, why come here? What keeps officers in this community is they are community-minded from here. Now, a lot of people use agencies like, you know, Greenwood or whatever as a stepping stone to move to other things. And sometimes you look at, well, if I can get 2 years out of this individual, I've really got something out of it. There's not a long-term plan on how to retain because we don't properly recruit. If you recruit with a plan, then you retain those people.
Where would you recruit from?
Well, you got all over the state. South Carolina State, South Carolina University, Clemson, Lander University. You got universities that are producing very qualified individuals.
How about veterans?
Hey, I'm a veteran, so I'll tell you right now. That is the school of hard knocks, without a doubt. When I first started, you had to have a DD-214, and they were taught to you. And I think that veterans come back with a lot of worldly experience that I think would fit. Because what they're doing in country today is trying to resolve issues more humanitarian style than heavy style. You know, sometimes a soldier, sailor, marine, they have to do what they have to do. But again, the concept of what they're doing over there now is a little bit different.
So on the, I know that you keep coming back to one thing, the training. I know you have developed this program, the North South, that you think will help Greenwood. What other issue do you think is a big issue for Greenwood in the sheriff's race right now?
I think, you know, talk about the North, creating those divisions. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, by design, by having those North-South divisions, having command and control to where you have somebody saying, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to start focusing on
it. Might be better to call them East-West, but go ahead.
But, you know, but having those officers, and I don't want to use the word confined because, you know, certainly you go anywhere in the county, you work for the sheriff. You go anywhere in the county, you need to do your job. But if you're focusing in those areas, 12-hour shifts, you're going to start learning some people. By design, that creates a community-oriented policing agency.
But certain areas of our county have more problems than others.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, that's one thing you have to be very careful about in law enforcement, because if you focus all your attention in one area because it requires that attention, and you forget about other areas, then what happens is you'll have bad people doing bad things very slowly, and they get their foot in there, and the next thing you know, they got their leg, and they got the whole body, and then we got another issue, we got another bad area. Mm-hmm. So you can't forget about those areas just because they're gated or just because they don't have a whole lot of crime or any crime at all. So you can't forget about those. And that's why you have to have a focused agenda when these division commanders say, okay, we got a problem here, here, and here, but let's make sure we're hitting these spots, these spots, and these spots. And that's one thing I pledge as a sheriff. It's unrealistic to sit here on this radio station and tell you that I can hit every house in the community in Greenwood County. But I can hit every community. I can get out here and walk and talk to individuals and say, hey, how are we doing? Are we doing okay? What can we do better? That's something I think is very, very important. Every community deserves that. I don't care if it's gated or not gated. I don't care where you at. You have you have an expected in your heart requirement from law enforcement to be present, good or bad. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the only time we're in those communities that are more maintenance requirement mm-hmm. is bad situations. So therefore, we get a bad image in law enforcement. Well, they're here because of that. Individuals forget why law enforcement is there. We're there to try to bring peace and order back to that community. But we can't forget about the community that's not having the problems. We still got to be there.
Well, you know, I agree with you there because you never know when something's going to pop up. And if you have to go in and go from square one because you don't have relationships with the people,
exactly.
then you've got a big problem.
Exactly.
You probably have more information about the inside of the goings-on at the Sheriff's Department for the last few years. One of the things that I have heard is that it is possible that the school resource officers may not continue.
I hadn't heard that one.
Okay,
but how
important is it?
Well, I think taking law enforcement out of the schools, well, just to back up, I never would have known in my day that officers would have been in the schools to start with.
Okay? Yeah, it sounds crazy to
it
me,
does.
Too.
Yeah. But after being the person responsible for the school resource officers.
That was one of your departments.
That was one of my programs in my department. I felt like that is a positive situation for the sheriff's office and certainly the community. There are officers that's in those schools that have developed relationships that carry on well after they graduate from school. I think it'd be a sad situation, a sad day when they take them out.
Okay, so you would believe in continuing that?
I do believe in continuing that.
What do you think about some of the situations that have happened in the schools? In today's world, would you have believed that we would have some of the drugs or some of the carrying of, you know, Jeff always comments about how when he was a kid in school, they used to take their rifles to school
and show them off. I was on the rifle team at
yeah.
Greenwood High School. And you know, we used to go hunting after school. Times have truly changed. Simply put is this. Greenwood's not Greenwood anymore.
You have to lock your doors.
Well, true, you do. You have to do that. But what I was going to say was this. There are some really bad people out here in this community that will do you harm in a heartbeat. And an ill-prepared policing agency is going to create nothing but more problems. You have to be more community-oriented. You have to be better educated, you have to be better trained in responding to certain situations. And the only way to do that is you have to have that mentality, that thought process that says, it's going to happen today. I better be prepared for it. You can't wait for it to happen and have a knee-jerk effect. It's too late then.
Sure. That's very true. Now, speaking of guns, though, what do you believe about Constitution carry? Should all citizens have the right to carry guns?
I believe so.
Even Uzis?
Let me tell you something.
AR-15s?
My world is this.
Okay.
A minimally trained person who is highly motivated will accomplish their mission, be it good or bad. Okay.
Do you think it's necessary for people? Should people be prepared? I mean, I remember reading articles a few years ago about a sheriff in one town, not here in South Carolina, I think it was up in Ohio or something, saying, hey, we can't get to you, be prepared.
Well, you certainly need to be able to protect yourself because the chances of an officer being there when it's really bad, mm-hmm. it's going to be slim to none. So certainly be prepared. But when it comes to the question of your right to carry a firearm, I don't have a problem with that. I think every person that wishes, is a citizen of this country, that wishes to carry a firearm until they are proven incompetent by means of criminal background or whatever, medical reasons, whatever, then they should have a right to do so. The only caveat to that is not everyone needs to pick up a weapon without some type of training. You have retention issues you have to worry about because once you fire that round, that bullet goes, it's going to hit something. So you really got to understand your responsibilities. You've got to understand retention where you're carrying it, don't fall off of you, and somebody gets a hold of it. So that being said, is I don't have a problem with that. Your weapon, your choice, is your weapon, your choice. Because I can promise you this, any individual that wants to hurt you, and we've already seen it. What, last year, a guy goes to school, I think it was with a knife. Mm-hmm. And look at the damage he did with a knife. He was highly motivated. Individual, you got to remember, bad guys that really want to create those kind of problems do not have an exit strategy. They don't plan on getting away. They just want to do all the damage they can do until they're stopped.
That's right.
And until we are prepared to respond to those situations in a very rapid mode with assistance of fire, with assistance of EMS, we're going to lose lives. We've got to start training together. We've got to have that multiple plan to when we arrive on the scene that we're working together. It's not a sandbox issue. That we're here, we're going to save lives, we've got a plan in place, we practice this plan, let's execute it.
Well, I think that they usually, once or twice a year, they do a community event, whether it was out at Piedmont Tech, they just had one not long ago. They've done them at the high school. They do different events around that work.
Well, I'm proud to say that was my program I started with District 50.
Oh, my God. And I walked right into that
you
one.
You sure
there.
Did. I appreciate that. But no, the current sheriff was the sheriff at the time, and I went to District 50, proposed it, went to sheriff and proposed it, and I will say I've got nothing but let's do this. But that was my program that I had been trying to work on for a number of years. To be honest with you, there's reasons why people didn't want to do it in the past, and I understand that. I don't agree with it, but I understand everybody has their reasons. But we found out after the first incident, training incident we had, it was over at Greenwood High School, how ill-prepared we were. So many things. We had communications issues. We had turf issues. No, that's mine, that's yours, whatever. There were so many things we had to work out. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's so much more.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I hate to cut you off, Dale, but it is 5 o'clock. I've got another interview, but I am going to give you 2 minutes to tell the folks why they should vote for you on June 14th.
Thank you, Ann. And people in Greenwood County, I'm asking your support. I'm asking you to provide me the opportunity to be that leader, to be that manager, to bring back the dignity that the sheriff's office and you deserve. And allow me to provide you a safe environment. I will do everything in my power. Anything that's out there to provide the training and the resources to provide a safe community. And I ask you June 14th, please come out and support me.
And your name is?
Dale Kittles.
And if they want to talk to you, Dale, what should they do?
Facebook. I tell you what, my personal cell phone number, 864-992-9565. I got it with me all the time. Call me and we'll talk.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks so much for coming on here today, Dale.
Thank you so much, Ann.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Stay tuned. We have Freda Sartain coming on. She is running for clerk of court. So about 15 minutes, we'll be up and going again. Stay right with us on WCRS.